Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on twitter.com/JoyKeys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And also, I'd like to hear from you. Send me an email. SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com is my email. Comments, suggestions, pictures, anything, you can send them to me. I'd love to hear from you. Also, you can tweet at me at Joy Keys on Twitter, and you can post things on the wall on the fan page on Facebook. This morning, we'll be talking about an important issue because August is Psoriasis Awareness Month. So, as you know, I do a lot of shows about different health topics from cancer, lupus, diabetes, all types of things. But I myself have learned a lot just looking and researching for the show. I don't think a lot of people know about psoriasis or what it is and the treatments available, so that's why I'm doing the show today. Please call in. The call the number is 646-929-0368. I have two great guests on the show this morning, Krista Kellogg. She is the Board of Trustees on the National Psoriasis Foundation. Good morning, Krista.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And also Jenny Marase. She's a doctor. Actually, she's also a professor, assistant clinical professor of dermatology at the University of California, San Francisco, and she's also the director of phototherapy for the Palo Alto Foundation Medical Group. Good morning, Dr. Marase.
Good morning. Thank you for having me as well.
She's also in California, so she's up a little early, so please thank you so much. Appreciate you doing that, and thank you, Krista, for calling in this morning. She's in Miami, and you missed the storm, yes?
We did, thankfully, although we're watching and praying for our friends all the way up the East Coast.
Yeah, I mean, we'll take a little side note. It's just crazy, the hurricane thing on the East Coast. We just had an earthquake, which people were completely unprepared for, and the far-reaching power of it, just all the way almost to Toronto, people felt it. And now we have to deal with a hurricane. So there's always something throwing curves, and psoriasis is something that really can throw a curve in people's lives, not just physically but emotionally. I want to start off with the doctor. Why don't you tell the audience what is psoriasis?
So psoriasis, first of all, is not contagious. It's classified in dermatology as an inflammatory disease. It's thought to be autoimmune, so it tends to be inherited from parents or grandparents. Oftentimes there's a history of someone in the family having psoriasis. And it presents as pink plaques, so spots that tend to be on the elbows and knees classically, or particularly the scalp. Sometimes dandruff can be misdiagnosed, psoriasis can be misdiagnosed as dandruff. The psoriasis plaques tend to have a thick silvery scale that distinguishes it from dandruff, and it also tends to be a little bit more on the very back of the head, just above the neck. It can be more widespread, and I have several patients that have much more involvement of the psoriasis than the sort of typical areas. But I would say the vast majority of the time it's limited to a relatively small body surface area.
Now, there's different types of psoriasis. What is the – talk to the audience about this guttate psoriasis.
Right. Guttate psoriasis, that's correct. So chronic plaque psoriasis is sort of the typical, which is the one that I just described, that tends to be sort of scalp, elbows, knees, also can be just a little bit above the gluteal cleft, which is right above the someone's bottom, And the guttate psoriasis, though, is sort of it's common, but it's a little bit more of an unusual variant, and that's when there's very, very small spots of psoriasis that can be scattered over the trunk and the arms and legs. And that can oftentimes happen after a strep infection, a few weeks after.
Okay. So now, how would a person know, like, it's not just maybe a rash or something? I mean, you said about the bumps and scale. At what point would they go talk to their doctor and say, this is something that's not right here?
Well, I think that, psoriasis is a disease that we don't have a cure for. We just have treatments. So if there was a rash that was hanging on for a few months, you know, that's a sign that you could be developing psoriasis potentially, and it probably should be something that you go into the doctor, you know, to have an evaluation for. We can always put in numbing medicine and do a sample and diagnose psoriasis that way, but oftentimes we just do it based on our clinical impression. You know, we look at the skin and it looks classic for psoriasis, so then we start people on psoriasis treatments.
So now, is this genetic, or is it brought on? I was reading about stress sometimes after being injured or traumatized. Talk to me about the different causes or triggers.
Sure. So I think that stress in general for almost any disease of the skin that I treat has a, you know, stress can aggravate. It's almost like a volume dial where if you, you know, with any kind of disease, it's going to make it more pronounced and worsen the disease.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say that stress is the cause, but it certainly is an aggravating factor. And it is absolutely thought to be very, very strongly genetic, and there are many, many studies showing, doing genetic analysis and trying to look
mm-hmm.
at what genes are implicated in the development of psoriasis. So it's very, very often, especially if I have a psoriasis patient that's more severe, almost everyone will tell me that they had someone in the family, you know, at least someone that they thought had more pronounced dandruff, you know, at the very least,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they come in and they present with psoriasis.
Well, one of the things that I mentioned earlier before we got on the air was that, and this is similar with many other illnesses, of anything that affects the body that seems out of what we consider normal or just makes you feel awkward, is the emotional component. I think that's why it's so important that you have the Psoriasis Foundation. And Krista, talk to me about some of the services that you provide. I know you provide chat rooms, a lot of online services. Talk to me about some other services that you provide for people dealing with psoriasis.
Absolutely. Well, the main thrust of the organization is to provide education and find a cure for psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis through research, advocacy, and education. Our website is psoriasis.org, and there is a plethora of information available to anybody there looking for information on all of our different strategic priorities. We do have message boards for both adults and children and caregivers, because sometimes dealing with the more moderate to severe effects of the disease can be quite devastating for both the patient and the caregiver.
So now you have a film festival coming up. Why don't you talk to them about the film festival?
So the film festival is happening right now, and you can get more information on our website about it. And it's all about telling stories. So many psoriasis patients are hiding their disease, and it can be quite embarrassing and devastating and painful for people. So the whole idea about awareness through the film festival is to encourage people to tell their stories. Psoriatic disease can be pretty devastating for everybody, so it's important to step into the spotlight and tell the world about the disease and how you're living with it and how we can reach for a cure.
Well, I'm going to post up the link here in the chat room if anybody's, and I'll try to post it on the fan page where they can go. There was a chance to win a $500 Visa gift card. You can go right to the link and upload your documentary or action film. Now, another thing that is great on your site is being able to find a doctor. There's a physician directory on the foundation's website, so that's a great thing. Sometimes it's hard, especially with insurance issues. Dr. Marase, in terms of treatments, what's available right now for, I guess, we're going to say the basic level psoriasis, and then also for psoriatic arthritis, what are some treatments available out there?
Sure. So, you know, first of all, I want to say the National Psoriasis Foundation website is wonderful, and it has an excellent description of all the treatments that I'll mention right now briefly. So if someone was listening and interested in looking into any of these options further, but also having a very reliable source of information, the National Psoriasis Foundation website is wonderful, and I refer every single psoriasis patient that comes to my clinic, I refer them to that website. So first of all, for limited body surface area, there are three different kinds of topical medicines general categories that we use. So one of them is topical cortisones. With long-term use, that can thin the skin. So we also supplement with two other kinds of topicals oftentimes. So another is a vitamin D derivative. And then the third is a vitamin A derivative. So we use combinations of those topical creams to control psoriasis.
Dr. Murata, that's interesting you mentioned about vitamin D, because I know with multiple sclerosis, there have been a lot of research about the benefits of increasing patients, people with multiple sclerosis, the use of vitamin D, not in a cream form, but actually, like a pill form. So is that something that in terms of autoimmune diseases, are you familiar across the board, does vitamin D help? Maybe say even with lupus or something like that?
Yeah, actually, I performed different research projects, both at UC Irvine as well as with colleagues at UCLA, specifically related to the similarities between multiple sclerosis and psoriasis. So if you look at the vitamin A pathways, vitamin D, the corticosteroids, as well as estrogen, those are all nuclear receptors, so they're all related in terms of their mechanism, their anti-inflammatory mechanism. So that's why they're thought to improve multiple sclerosis and psoriasis among 15 other autoimmune diseases. Sometimes thyroid disease has been implicated, as well as sort of more rare autoimmune conditions. So I don't regularly recommend to my patients to go on vitamin D supplementation more than the recommended daily allowance. So 600 international units of vitamin D is a safe level to take. If you take more than 4,000 international units, for example, if you get a low value and you're taking more than 4,000 international units, that can actually cause kidney stones. So I don't recommend taking super potent doses of vitamin D. But certainly making sure that your vitamin D levels are normal and supplementing is very important for bone health, as well as I think it could have potentially a modest impact on someone's psoriasis.
Krista, you have a lot of publications on your website. You also have a newsletter. Talk to me about the different publications available for people visiting the site.
For anyone visiting the site, they will be able to find the full breadth of collateral information on the disease, from the different types of disease. You mentioned guttate, and there are many other types of and presentations of both psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis. So you'll be able to find all of the information you need. You can download the information, and you can also take a look at our magazine that's called Advance, which keeps our members up to date on all of the latest and greatest news and research and advancements in medicine regarding psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis. And there are plenty of things, all the way from the most basic overview of the disease all the way through to, coping emotionally and how to deal with insurance issues and phototherapy copays and other issues that can come up from time to time. There's so many different treatments for this disease, both psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis, and not everything works for every person. And so it's very much an individual journey that you're on to find what works for you, to find a doctor you can partner with and who can advocate for you if you encounter insurance problems and things of that nature. The foundation is also available to provide that assistance to anyone who wants to call and ask for that.
Well, also not just for patients, you have a lot of information for medical professionals, events coming up, research opportunities, different informational booklets, also for the medical community. So if you're listening and you're not a layperson, but you're a doctor, such as Dr. Morase, you can also find some useful information. And they also have free webcasts on there that you can view and register and join for a webinar. So that's a really great thing. October 29th is World Psoriasis Day. Is the foundation doing anything special on October 29th for that?
We have many things in the pipeline, and we are working all the time with our partners in other countries and around the world to put a highlight on psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis. Last year, we specifically highlighted children and their struggles with the disease. So we do have some things in the pipeline, and we'll look forward to pushing those out soon.
Now, Dr. Morase, in terms of who is susceptible, different ethnicities, African-American, Asian, Latino, Caucasian, who is more susceptible to psoriasis, or does it matter? Do you see any trends in who's more susceptible?
Well, I've seen a lot of incident rates published, and, you know, typically we quote something about 3 to 5% of the population. I know that in Asia, particularly Japan, since I was lecturing in Japan, I spoke with some of the dermatologists there, and the rate is lower in that portion of the world. And I don't know the exact rates for, you know, other ethnicities, but I think it's fairly standard throughout the world.
Now, first of all, just a really crazy thing I was reading on the site was that Kim Kardashian has psoriasis. Are you familiar with the story?
I am. She does, and I believe also that her mom has the disease. It was highlighted in one of her recent episodes, and I guess time will tell how she deals with it, but I'm sure she's on a fact-finding mission right now to, you know, discover what will work for her and to try to get a partnership with a doctor who can help her to cope with it. It can be very difficult for anyone who's not in the spotlight and for someone who is in the spotlight and relies on, you know, her public appearances and modeling and all of those other things. It can be quite devastating. She's newly married, and so there are all sorts of emotional issues that go along with the disease and how you're feeling about yourself and how your body looks and, you know, other ways that you could be impacted. So we hope the best for her, that she gets the best treatment and can, you know, control her disease sooner rather than later. There are several.
Now,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Right. No. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say there are other, in addition to, impacting your skin and impacting your joints, there are several comorbidities associated with psoriasis, high blood pressure and heart disease, and obesity is also linked. So it's very important to take care of your overall health as you're learning to deal with a chronic autoimmune disease.
Dr. Morase, I was just wondering, in terms of, does this progress or does it always stay the same? Like, so if you get it on, you know, under your arms, or if you get around your skin, can it increase or can it get worse? What's like the lifespan?
Yeah, that's a very good question, and it's always a very difficult question for me to answer when I'm counseling individual patients, because I don't have a crystal ball for each individual patient, and there can be such, I mean, I've seen cases of psoriasis where it goes away, and it was biopsy-proven psoriasis, which is very unusual, and then it can present again several years down the line. I think that for the most part, the patients that I'm seeing, of course, I have a biased perspective because people are coming in to see me because they have their psoriasis, but for the most part, you know, it stays fairly stable. There aren't severe flares of it, and then, you know, it goes into remission as much as something, a patient with atopic dermatitis or eczema can have a much more severe full body flare and then go into remission, and that's because psoriasis cannot get infected very easily. Whereas atopic dermatitis patients, because the skin barrier is compromised, it's very easy for it to get infected. So bacteria such as staph can cause severe infections, whereas psoriasis at least has that, that confers that ability for the skin to protect itself, and it's thought to be due to increased antimicrobial peptides. So it's almost as if your immune system is revved up and protecting you from infection.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this... in terms of the caregiver issue, Krista, talk to me just a little bit more about some things that are on the website or with the organization that are available for caregivers.
Well, there's a specific area on the website where people can visit our message boards and specific boards and chats that are geared toward caregivers, whether that's a parent or a spouse or someone else in your family. It's really important to touch base with other people who are in this position, because so much of the time it's so difficult for people without the disease to understand what it's like to be suffering with it, and then also to not be able to help. So there are also, we have a separate website for kids, kids and parents, where parents can go and receive resources on how to help your kids coping with bullying in school, how to help to prepare a plan for your children if they need special attention or time during the day to apply medications or sit out of certain activities. So all of those things to make a special accommodation for both children and adults are all available on our website. And it's so important because it can be a devastating disease if you're dealing with some, you know, moderate to severe coverage. I personally have palmar plantar psoriasis, which affects the soles of my feet and the palms of my hands. And so that's a particularly problematic presentation of the disease in that you're constantly having to walk around on it and use your hands. So that can be very frustrating and draining. And thank God for my husband, who has gotten a lot of support from the National Psoriasis Foundation, and just being able to sort of talk with other people who are dealing with spouses who are dealing with chronic pain and the other things that can go along with the disease.
Well, let me just mention again about your website. It's psoriasis.org.
Yes.
Also, you guys are on Facebook. You're on Twitter. Twitter is at NPF, correct?
That's right.
And you're on YouTube.
Yeah, we have quite a bit of videos have come in, and I know that they've been working, the communications department has been working so hard to collect all of these videos. And now with the new film festival, we'll have even more. So, you know, any enhancement in media and social media to help get the word out is obviously critically important to us.
Dr. Morasse, what's on the forefront for psoriasis? Do we see a cure? If so, how long? What are some new things that are being researched or tested?
Well, at the recent Dermatology Foundation meeting in Florida, there was a presentation by Dr. Gerald Kruger from Utah who went over new therapies on the horizon. And for the most part, the therapies that are being developed are immunosuppressant therapies. So therapies such as Enbrel or Humira or Remicade, those are anti-TNF, tumor necrosis factor, therapies that are either injected or given by infusion. Those are medicines that suppress the immune system, and they're very, very effective in controlling psoriasis. And several therapies along those lines are being developed. I asked him during that talk if there were any therapies for my patients that have chronic infections, so particularly hepatitis patients. Oftentimes, in some cases, they elect to go on the biologics, but oftentimes they prefer not to because they are concerned that it could flare their hepatitis. And we don't really have very many new therapies for people who have indolent infections. And I'm hoping that that is something that that research, you know, a researcher somewhere will take on, because most of our energy is how is being put into how to modulate the immune system. I'm not aware of anyone that is working on a cure or has developed a cure, but I know that in terms of the genetics the genetic studies that are going on to gene therapy, I mean, that would be one potential mechanism, but I think that's very, very far in the future at this point.
Yeah. Well, I just I want to encourage everybody who's out there, if you're not familiar with psoriasis, again, August was or is, we still have a couple more days, National Psoriasis Awareness Month. October 29th is World Psoriasis Day, and go to the website, psoriasis.org. They have a lot of information, just really enlightening. I'm always encourage people to just learn about things, because you never know, you might spot it on somebody else, and they may not be aware of what it is, and you are able to help a friend or family member go to a doctor and get help, and there is help. As we discussed today, there are a variety of treatments that are available that can help you live with psoriasis. And those also for the caregivers, as Krista mentioned, her husband getting a lot of support, which is needed. Caregivers sometimes are not recognized, but I always try to recognize them because that's a job in and of itself. Like Krista said, someone's dealing with chronic pain all the time. It affects them emotionally, but maybe the job they can take, where they can go, the type of clothes they can wear, and then the dealing with side effects of medicine. So caregivers, I just want to give you a shout-out, so to speak, for all the hard work that you do, dealing with psoriasis or any other illness that your family member or friend have. Krista, thank you so much for being on the show today. Dr. Morafe, thank you for calling in so early, all the way in California. And I wish you guys much success, and Dr. Morafe, in your career as professor and doctor, and Krista, I wish you all the healing in dealing with psoriasis. Thank you so much for being on the show this morning.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. It was my pleasure.
You guys have a wonderful Saturday and a great week, and hopefully nobody will have to deal with this hurricane after the next couple days.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great day. Thank you, everybody, for listening to today's show. Again, check out psoriasis.org, and they're on YouTube. They're on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter, @JoyKeys, twitter.com/JoyKeys. You can become a fan of the show. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys on Facebook, and I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email, SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. If you have some time, stay tuned. I'm doing another show with great author Tina McElroy Anza. She's from Atlanta. Actually, she was born in Macon, Georgia, but she's written four novels. She's working on a movie with her husband. So if you have time, stay tuned. The call-in number is 646-929-0368. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you have a great week. If you're in the East Coast, I hope you got your water and your peanut butter, granola. Some tips I heard were filling your bathtub with water. Fill your bathtub with water so that you can use that water for washing, for flushing your toilet. And also, if you still have gas, you can cook it and use it for preparing food of sorts. So fill your bathtub up with water so that you have it in case something happens with water flow. And also, I hope you have your batteries and candles for light in this situation. Thank you so much again for listening to the show, and you have a wonderful Saturday.
Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn. So follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at foreignlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.